Welcome, everyone, to the Transformation Nurse Academy podcast. This is our weekly episode, Talk with Kevin, where we cover topics for all nursing fields with extra emphasis on emergency and critical nursing. Get ready for candid discussions that explore the vast landscape of nursing and beyond.
Welcome, bitches, to the Transformation Nurse Academy podcast. I'm over here trying to motherfucking record and shit, and my mic's not working, and I'm all going crazy. I'm like, what the fuck? I got the fucking volume turned down and shit. I'm so stupid. All right, welcome, guys. I appreciate you joining me and stuff. We're going to talk about a topic about retaliation versus accountability. Not my words, but his name is Adam Carlin, K-A-R-L-E-N. He's a vice president and CNO of the Minnesota Health Fairview Northland Medical Center. So we're going to be talking about that because I think some of the things he said, just my opinion, but I think some of the things he said is fucking crazy. And so we'll get into that. So I'm going to let you hear from his words, not mine, and I'll share with you what he said here. So
no substantive proof that there is widespread nurses who are raising legitimate patient concerns who are facing retribution from their employers. In fact, at Fairview, our safety always culture requires staff who have questions or concerns to speak up, to practice a questioning attitude, and to communicate clearly when there are issues. Authors of this bill have mistakenly confused retaliation for accountability. And in the case of Section 5, which gives nurses unilateral authority to refuse patients, this lack of accountability will create serious problems. It's important to consider the impact of this proposed provision will have on our underserved, marginalized, and vulnerable patients, patients that we care for in our hospitals every day. It is not a bridge too far to see this provision to be used to the extreme, giving people with conscious or unconscious bias the ability to pick or choose their patients, or further, clearing the way for mandatory staffing ratios through sanctioned patient refusal.
So what does that mean? Patient refusal and stuff. So he said retaliation versus accountability. But my problem with that is, Adam, if you want to come on and explain yourself, and I know you don't have to, you don't know fucking Kevin Stansbury shit, but my problem with that is, why don't nurses have the right or responsibility to refuse an unsafe assignment? So what I did was I went on to the Minnesota Board of Registered Nursing and I looked at their scope of practice. And lo and behold, it says that RNs, registered nurses, they are responsible for advocating for the best interest of the individual patients. So you're telling me as a professional, Adam, I don't have the authority or the right to refuse an unsafe assignment. I disagree with you there. My job is to provide, according to your own state's scope of practice for registered nursing, my job is to provide safe and effective nursing care, promote a safe and therapeutic environment, advocate for the best interests of the individual patients, evaluate responses to the interventions and the effectiveness of the plan of care, collaborating and coordinating with other healthcare professionals in the management and implementation of care within and across the settings and communities. So, you know, I think it's more, you know, important. It even says accountability for the quality, even going on, this is on number 17 on your own scope of practice in Minnesota, accountability for the quality of care delivered, recognizing the limits of knowledge and experience, addressing situations beyond the nurse's competency. Have you at your facility provided competency training for all of your nurses? And it doesn't matter, checkboxes aren't competency training. And performing the level of education, knowledge, and skill ordinarily expected of an individual who has completed an approved professional nursing education program as described in section 148.221 subdivision 1. That is your scope of practice in Minnesota. And I'm sure you're aware of that. But then I went on to do some research, right? If you go to LinkedIn, you type in Adam Carlin. This is what blows my mind even more. Adam, he's a doctor of nursing. He used to be a respiratory therapist, but now he's a doctor of nursing. He was clinical director of the medical ICU. So that means Adam is only used to fucking two patients at a time. I don't know, maybe in Minnesota, they get more than two patients. He was also an adult peds ICU float nurse per diem. He was also an adult ICU charge nurse and staff nurse. Graduated at the University of Minnesota, University of Wisconsin-Madison. He has a certificate in quality and safety from the IHI. I don't know if anybody knows what the IHI is, But if you go to the IHI website, it's called IHI.org, and you go up there and you click on About, and then you look at the missions and values of the IHI. Their values state courage. We stay true to our values even in the face of risk or loss. We speak up, Adam, according to the Certificate of Safety and Improvement from the IHI. We do all this in the service of personal and organizational integrity. And then the other value is love. We build relationships grounded in patience, kindness, gratitude, and respect. So I don't think you have love and kindness and gratitude and respect for your nurses. We bring our whole selves in our authentic and caring spirit to encourage others to do the same. Your words don't sound very encouraging. Equity. We work to prevent and undo fair systems, like making nurses go over ratios, because evidence proves, as a doctor of nursing, you should know, evidence proves that nurses who have more than so many patients commit medical errors, because it's so hard to, if you came down to the ED, Adam, would you take more than two ICU patients? Because we do. They try to force us to do that. We tell the truth about inequities and value all voices. So it doesn't sound like you're valuing all voices, Adam. We believe that we are interconnected and that these inequities lead us all to lose. So what are you doing by squashing our voices, Adam? You're causing inequities and you're causing all of us to lose. IHI, which you have a certificate of, says we want everyone to thrive, and none of us can truly thrive until we all do. And then the last value is trust. We recognize the unique experience that each of us brings and believe in each other's strengths. So if you trust me as a medical professional, knowing my craft, Adam, why won't you let me decide if I'm able to take care of this patient with competence? And if I don't have the competence, are you going to provide that competency training for me? Because you're assuming that everybody knows the same as you do because you're an ICU nurse and you are a respiratory therapist. So you have a lot of medical experience. You have a lot of training, but not everybody has your training. So if we feel that we're not capable, why don't you provide the extra support? Because that's what it says under trust. We ensure that people feel empowered and supported. These are your own values from the IHI that you have a certificate of. So that doesn't correlate with what you're saying in this video. Then I went on to look at the ratings. So if you go to hospitalsafetygrade.org, and for those of you who can't see it, I'm sorry, but you can go on YouTube because this will be up on YouTube so you can see it. But if you go to hospitalsafetygrade.org, let me see if I can share this with you again. I'll share this with you. I'm going to delete this off here, remove from the studio, and then I'm going to present this, share the screen. Let me see, where are we at? Hospital right here. So I'm going to share this with you. If you go on here, you can see that the Minnesota Health Fairview Northern Medical Center, they got a B. That's not bad. But the reason why they got a B is because, look at this, infections, hospital score not available. Why is it not available? Because they declined to report. So when you look at hospital infections, they talk about MRSA, they talk about C. diff, infection in bloods, urinary tract infections, surgical site infections after colon surgery, sepsis infections after surgery. Now, I don't know why it's not available. Maybe this hospital doesn't do these kind of things. I'm not certain why, but if you look at the C. diff, it's in the red, which is means hospital performs worse than average. So if you click on C. diff, the hospital score is 1.013. Best hospital scores doesn't really have one. Average is 0.44. The worst is 1.86. So while they're not the worst, they're pretty bad stuff, right? What safer hospitals do, doctors and nurses should clean their hands after caring for every patient. Hospital rooms and medical equipment should be thoroughly cleaned often. Safer hospitals will also keep C. diff patients separate from other patients. So I don't know what we're doing here with their C. diff patients. But then we're going to click over here on problems with surgery. Again, hospital score zero because there's a lot of these things that they won't what? Report. Where it talks about dangerous objects left in the patient's body, they got a good score, better than average. But when it comes to blood leakage, their score is 2.37. Hospital's worst score is 4.73, but theirs is 2.37, which is a national average. So all of us are doing a shitty job when it comes to blood leakage, meaning if blood vessels become injured during surgery, they may leak excess blood within the body. In some cases, the blood leaks or clumps and create clots. Both clots and internal bleeding can cause significant damage to body organs, potentially leading to organ failure, even death. So even though they're not the worst, they're right in the middle and stuff. Safety problems. their scores. They got a lot of different scores. Harmful events, they got right in the middle. Dangerous bed scores, right in the middle. Patient falls, they're pretty good at that. Falls causing hips, they're right in the middle. Collapsed lung, they're in the middle. Dangerous clots are in the middle, but they don't give people air and gas bubbles. So if you click over here, let's talk about harmful events, right? Dangerous bed sores, their score is 0.35. The worst ever is 9.62. They got good scores on falls. Collapsed lungs, they got good scores, but it's just medium and stuff. Here, dangerous blood clots, their score is 3.3. The worst is 7.4. The average 3.41. So they're about average. So that means all across America, we pretty suck at these things like this. Let's go to practicing to prevent errors. Doctors orders medications to a computer. Their doctors are average. Safe Medication Administration. Let's click on that. Their score is 85. The average score in America is 92.6. So even though they're lower than the average score, that's because they don't use barcodes. Using barcodes, nurses can scan medications. So that's one thing. I don't know what kind of system they use there. Over here, though, where it says staff work to prevent errors, they declined to report. I'm not sure why. Then if you go over here on doctors and nurses and hospitals, they got declined to report. They won't even report that. Specially trained doctors for ICU patients, their score is 5. The average in America is 62.35. There's this fucking 5. So being a CNO of a hospital who came from ICU, that's very surprising. I don't know what to tell you about that, but that is pretty surprising though, right? So communication with nurses, they got good. I don't know how that's possible. So your hospital ratings are pretty good, but why do you think it's not okay for nurses to advocate and say, hey, we don't feel safe. We need to have safe patient ratios. That's what I don't get. So I don't understand that principle behind you wanting to squash and tell us that we're not accountable when we're trying to do the best. Now, I don't know your hospital. I don't know your nurses. I wish I could get all the nurses to tell me about your hospital. I wish they would tell me about what kind of leader you are, if you're a good leader, a bad leader, or just you don't lead at all, you don't show up. I don't think it's very fair that you come on and talk to a committee, because you were talking to the committee that, let's see, the hospital executives continue to dismiss nurses' concerns about retaliation when they speak up about unsafe nursing practices. It says that he was speaking to the Minnesota House Finance Committee. Why is a CNO speaking to a health finance committee? I wonder. Because if we have nursing ratios, that means you have to hire more nurses. And if you hire more nurses, your hospital has to spend more money. And if you spend more money, then you can't get a bonus or get a higher pay as a CNO. Or your managers can't get higher pay. So I really don't understand how you can't think that it's not important for nurses to be able to speak up. So I'd like to hear your views on this. I'd like to hear what you guys got to say about this and tell me if you think it's appropriate for CNOs to say that nurses can't speak up and refuse unsafe assignments, especially when your own scope of practice from Minnesota specifically states what I stated earlier. But I am going to talk about the hospitals in our area. I don't want to show it to you because I went back to the nursing bedside and I don't want to get fired just yet and shit. I'm not off of probation. In our area, we have 7 hospitals that are on this website called hospitalsafetygrade.org. If you go on there, and I'll have Jane put it in our website or in the notes and stuff so that way you guys can use it. But it gives a grade. And, you know, I live in Madera, and Madera is not even on here anymore. So in Fresno, alone in Fresno, we have 4 hospitals in Fresno, 1 in Hanford, 1 in Selma, and 1 in Visalia. These are hospitals that are on there. So the first hospital that pops up, I won't tell you, but it's a big hospital, and it's somewhere in Fresno and pretty large. It has a grade C when it comes to their grades and stuff. And so when you go on there, onto the website, I know you can't see it, and I know when we're on YouTube, you won't be able to see it either because I don't want to share hospital names because I don't want to get fired yet. But it goes, breaks it down by infections, problems with surgeries, safety problems, practices to prevent errors, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff. So this first hospital's got a C grade, which is not too bad, I guess. You know, C's get degrees. But it breaks it down in the infections. It breaks it down in MRSA, C. diff, infections in bloods, infection in the urinary tract infections, surgical site infections after colon surgery, and sepsis in infection after surgery. So this hospital, when it comes to infections, has a score of 0.963. And that's about average, believe it or not, for American hospitals. The worst score ever given to a hospital is 3.653. So I guess, you know, they're right in the middle. However, when it comes to C. diff, their hospital score is 0.807. The average score is 0.44. So they're double the national average, but they're not quite the worst, which is 1.86. So what causes C. diff? That's what you guys got to learn. And how do you prevent it? So C. diff is a bacterium that can cause diarrhea, abdominal pain, loss of appetite, fever. Most C. diff cases occur in patients taking or have recently taken antibiotics, and fully killing the bacteria in an affected patient can be very difficult for C. diff and can spread via contaminated equipment or by providers failing to wash their hands. So wash your fucking hands, motherfuckers. I don't know why that's so hard. It's not like rocket science. The next one, infection in blood, they don't have a bad score. It's like 1.179. It is double the national average, which is 0.88. So they're right in the middle. However, urinary tract infections, the average hospital score, according to this hospital safety grade, is 0.735. Theirs is 1.3, which is almost double. So if a patient enters the hospital, he or she may require a urinary catheter. Patients with urinary catheters are at risk for developing a dangerous urinary tract infection. But this is because nurses won't use clean techniques when they're doing pericare. They won't use sterile techniques when they're inserting the Foley catheters. They probably are still trying to inflate the damn balloon, which has been gone for 6 or 7 fucking years now. And they're probably not washing their hands. So they need to improve in the urinary tract infection department. The next one is surgical site infections after colon surgery. Their score is 1.491. Their average hospital score is 0.832. So they're almost double, not quite, but pretty damn close. So that means they're giving people infections after colon surgeries. And then sepsis after surgery, the average score is 4.15. They're 5.58. So they're above the national average. So what are we doing to cause sepsis and infection after surgeries? That's something that you got to look at. Problems with surgeries. So out of all the things, they got dangerous objects left in the body. They are lower than average. They perform worse than the average hospital. The average hospital score is 0.014. Theirs is 0.02. That means surgeons are leaving shit in there. Now, it could be because there's residents performing surgeries. The surgeons leave the surgery during surgery when they're not supposed to. The other one is surgical wound splits open after surgery. Average hospital score, 0.81. Theirs is 1.34. So that's pretty damn bad. Death from serious treatable complications. The average score nationwide is 143.25. Theirs is 186.71. The worst hospital score is 186.71. Their score is 186.71. The worst hospital score is 186.71. So why do they have deaths from serious treatable complications? So this is what it says. Death from treatable serious complications. Sometimes after surgery, patients can develop serious complications while they are in the hospital. They might catch pneumonia, have a heart attack, lose function in their kidneys. These problems are serious but can be treated by a good hospital team. If the hospital doesn't manage the patient's complications correctly, the patient could die. So I wonder what that's related to. Their safety problems, which is harmful events, death, dangerous bed sores, falls, broken hips, collapsed lungs. Those are pretty good, all their scores. Practices to prevent errors. All their scores are good here, except communication about medications. So they're a little bit lower than the average, but they're still, you know, they still got pretty poor scores on there. When it comes to doctors, nurses, hospital staff, all their scores are seriously low. When it talks about communication with nurses, their average score is 84. Responsiveness, meaning patients getting the responsiveness they need, the score is 73. Communication with doctors are 86. Nursing and bedside care for patients, oh my Lord, average score nationwide is 71. Theirs is 15. So they're like super low. Studies show better staffing practices have a meaningful impact on the quality and safety of patient care. When hospitals have more nurses and assistive personnel, patients are more likely to have a better experience and prove better outcome. I'm sure we talked about this earlier when it came to Adam Carlin and not wanting to have accountability, but we'll talk about that later. So I'm going to go back. One of the worst hospitals in the Valley has a D score. Can you imagine that shit having a D? That means they suck at everything. So their infection rates are you know, not above average. They're not quite below average. They're right in the middle of average. Problem with surgeries, this hospital with the D. Again, their deaths from serious treatable complications, their score's pretty high. Safety problems, their scores are okay. Practices to prevent errors, all of them are below average except staff work together to prevent errors. So doctors ordering medications through the computer, safe medication administration, hand washing, communication about medications, and discharge communications all suck ass. So they got some pretty damn low scores there. Their hand washing is at 40. Not the worst in the country, but it's still pretty low. So they got some pretty low scores. When it comes to doctors, nurses, hospital staff, when it comes to nursing and bedside patient care, again, just like the other hospital, their score is 15, when the average score across America is 71. So that means they need more staff. They need more assistive personnel. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to work with this new law. I don't know if you are aware of this new law that California, the governor signed, where every medical personnel in the hospital has to get a minimum of $25 an hour. So I don't know what that's going to do when we have that. So the other hospitals in the Valley, there's one that's here kind of mid-central. They have a B score. That's pretty good. Another hospital that's out in the posh part of town of Fresno, they got a C score. Selma, they got a B. Adventist has a B. And the other score is a C down towards Visalia. So I encourage you, though, I encourage you to go to these websites and see all these different scores. You know, so that way maybe we can make a difference on improving our patient care, improving patient outcomes, you know, improving maybe better staffing ratios, better patient safety ratios. They do have one in here called effective leadership to prevent errors. So effective leadership says errors are much more common in hospital if hospital leaders don't make patient safety a priority. Oh, so let's look at all those. So this one has a C. They don't care about patient safety. Let's look at this one who has a C. Let's look at the leadership. Yep, they have a low score. All right. This hospital with the C has a low score. The hospital D, I don't know how this is possible. So if this hospital with the D says effective leadership to prevent errors, they got a high score above national average. So I don't know how, if the leadership is helping lead the way to prevent errors, then why are we still preventing errors? Is it lack of staffing? Is it lack of education? What is it that's causing the problem in those hospitals? Does that make sense? So I don't understand that. So maybe we need to look at ourselves and think about if we want to be treated as professionals, that we need to start acting like professionals, educating ourselves like professionals, so that way there's no issues and the leadership can't blame us for all the medical errors that's going on. All right. So think about those things. Again, go to the hospital. It's called hospitalsafetygrade.org. Maybe start learning about these different scores and how they rate us and try to improve your skills and make sure that your leadership is improving patient safety, trying to advocate for more nurses, better pay, and let me know what you think. And so I'll have Jane put those links in there. We'll hear about your comments, hopefully. We'll post this on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. Maybe we'll tag on to this and see what's going on. All right, you guys, you have a great night. I hope you appreciate it. We're going to be going out now. You guys take it easy, and I love you, motherfuckers. Peace, bitches. And speak the fuck up. Don't fucking ever sit down and not speak up.
Don't miss out. Engage with us weekly. Share your thoughts, and let's transform the nursing landscape together.